is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Yes, it is, Carlin on 98.7 ESPN, but you just heard that. We are all facing an inconvenient truth. We are not talking about global warming in this case. We are talking about the quarterback situation in New York City. Specifically more with the Jets, but it is something that Giant fans need to pay attention to. Went back today and looked at the drafts in the NFL from 2011 to 2019. And specifically looked at the first two rounds of those drafts and the quarterbacks that were taken. Now, it's very difficult to consider that 2019 can be included in this group already, considering we're just a year out from that draft. But I put it in there anyway, just to make a point. And the point is this. Of the 34 quarterbacks that were taken in that span of nine drafts, only six of them have really turned into confirmed stars slash superstars. And that's problematic. Those six I would classify as, from 2011 on, Cam Newton, Andrew Luck, who's now not even in the league, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, and Kyler Murray. I'll put him in that category generously because I believe he's headed there. There are a couple of probables in there, Jared Goff, Josh Allen, but boy, there are some ugly names that run throughout that list that you don't even want to hear about at the moment, trust me. But the more interesting thing to me was, with those six quarterbacks in particular, how long was it before you really knew? Before you really knew that they were the future of your franchise? And one thing is very clear with all six. You knew by the third season. You knew that you were either headed there by the end of the second season or in the middle of the third season, that player was dominant. And probably the latest one there was Andrew Luck, believe it or not. He was good his first 2 years, but he became a superstar through 40 touchdowns in his third season. The point is this. While the batting average across the board has not been particularly good at that position, it hasn't taken all that long to find out if you have the guy. And I found it even more concerning, troubling, whatever you want to call it, that we are now in year three of Sam Darnold and that question is not answered. And we can go back and forth all you want about what he has and what he doesn't have. But the point is, we don't have that answer. A great, great quarterback can overcome some problems. And so far, he hasn't really been able to do that. So when you look at those guys, there are not late bloomers. That's not a thing in the NFL anymore because players are playing earlier and earlier. And remember, Patrick Mahomes didn't play the majority of his first season. And in his second season, he became a star. If you don't know by year three, you actually do know. You have the answer. You just likely don't want to admit it. And that answer is probably no. The clock is so much bigger of an issue now than it was 10, 12, 15 years ago. More like 15. Because you have new GMs and new coaches rolling through these places every 3 to 4 years. And every new GM that comes in will look at the quarterback that's there, even if he's a young guy, and say, that wasn't my guy. I mean, look at how quickly the Cardinals moved on from Josh Rosen the second Cliff Kingsbury came in. It's the same GM, but they were ready to get out because Kingsbury wanted Kyler Murray in the absolute worst way. So when you go down this road, you can see these carcasses of the next star by the side of the road. The guy that was supposed to be it, and it turns out he is not it. And boy, that's troubling. And I want to be as fair as possible to Sam, which brings us to Steve Young earlier today on with Michael Kay. And Steve was talking with Michael, Don, and Peter about Sam and about where he felt like the biggest issues were. And Michael asked him specifically about that.
I believe if I took Sam and put him on the 49ers, that he'd be a productive player, young player, and he would grow. And so in the end, because I say that, then it has to reflect on the Jets, because as we know, when you're in a place that doesn't necessarily teach and give the opportunity and the support, everybody flails. I think Matthew Stafford could have been one of the greatest players that ever played in the NFL. But he's been in Detroit, and it's held him back. And that's just a fact. And so Sam is a product of where he is. And we just won't know if he was in San Francisco or if he was in Seattle or, you know, a number of other places. We would know. We would say, oh, right. Sam is a good player, but he's not great. Or, wow, Sam is a great player. And who knew? And that's why it's so hard with when you're not getting the support. When you ask me where it lies, in the end, support for a quarterback in the NFL today is, it always has been, but more so than ever.
This is a problem. So, yeah, the head coach is an issue here. Now, it's Steve's opinion, but it's a pretty strong opinion, and I would trust it. And, yeah, a head coach can, or a quarterback developer, if he doesn't do it the right way, can absolutely make or break a quarterback. However, Steve did later admit that if you are a great quarterback, you can overcome that kind of thing. You have to be the guy that's just going to step in and say, screw it, let's do this. I'm going to do it how I have to do it. And if you're great, you overcome that. It's not completely disregarding the coach. It's just understanding what's going to make you better and what is going to benefit the team the most in how you play. So here we are, and it's troubling to be in this position. It really is. Because you've been in this position so many times before. And right now, you need answers. And for Sam, this is it. This is it. I said this during the offseason, and so many of you just scoffed at the notion that the Jets could really be in a large quandary at the end of this year, not knowing if they have the quarterback or not. And they could be in a Mitchell Trubisky type situation. One last thing about it, though. You know, I see so often on social media highlights here and there of different guys, and look how good this guy is. And they always do that with Sam. They show, look at this throw. This throw is absolutely ridiculous. What a great throw. Hey, you don't get to be the number three overall pick without having an awful lot of talent. Nobody is denying that. The difference between a great quarterback and a guy that washes out is flat out consistency and finding the ability to do just that. It's really the only thing that you have to watch for the rest of this season. Otherwise, you know what you're doing? You're checking the Clemson schedule. Let's see. October 3rd, they're playing Virginia. Let's get a look-see. It's scary that you're there, but you're there. And for Sam, I'm sure there's an awful lot of pressure he's feeling at the moment. But as a quarterback of the New York Jets, when people are trying to figure out if you're the guy, that's all part of the deal. I really, really wonder if this is a situation where by week 10, it is full on tank for Trevor. And it might be by week 5. Carlin, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-ESPN. I honestly can't believe in so many ways that we are here, but we honestly are. And it could just be as simple as not really getting an answer in year three, and you're right back at this, and you're right back at drafting another quarterback with the first overall pick, but it's definitely possible that this is where we're going to be. Ira in Staten Island is up next. Well, up first on 98.7 ESPN. Fittingly, Ira, how are you doing, brother?
Good evening, Chris. How are you?
I'm good.
It's very disturbing. First of all, the monologue in the opening was excellent, and every point you brought up was 100% spot on. And it's disturbing that we're even having this conversation. You know, we drafted Sam. We thought we finally got our franchise quarterback. And we still don't know in year three, like you said. The question marks are out there. You know, part of the responsibility is on him, part's on the organization, part's on the coaching. But at the end of the day, at the end of this season, you're not going to pick up a fifth-year option and give this guy $20 to $25 million next year when you have a big question mark.
No,
and you have
absolutely
a new GM.
Not. You can, and the thing is, you know, we can make a big deal about that, Ira, if you want, but it's actually not that big of a deal if they don't pick it up, because they still leave themselves with the option of franchising him after year four if he actually did play really well.
True, but you may be able to get some value in, but when you get a once-in-a-generation, supposedly, type of player like Lawrence sitting there, and listen, let's hope this isn't the case, but you know, all arrows are pointing where there's going to be a new coach and this team is going to win two or three of maybe four games. And if they get that number one pick, you know what? New GM, you know, I didn't draft Sam. There's probably a good chance he's going to try to trade him, and they're going to take Trevor Lawrence. And that's just the way it's going to be. And I'll get another coach to come in here and coach this guy. And, you know, hopefully 3 years from now, we're not having that discussion again. But the way I look at Donald right now, like I said, there's a lot of responsibility and blame to throw around. But to me, right now, he's an Andy Dalton, Ryan Fitzpatrick type of player. Right now. I can't put him above that. And
that's a problem.
Really, like I said, how could you really make a move?
Andy Dalton, in his career, was more consistent than he's been.
And so was Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I mean, he's had some good years. Thanks for the call, Ira. I wouldn't put him in that same category. But, you know, I would think that the ceiling is a little bit higher for Sam than Ryan Fitzpatrick. At least it better be. I would absolutely say that you are going to be in the position this coming offseason, if things don't turn around quick, to draft Trevor Lawrence. And frankly, if the Jets get to 1-6, 1-7, you have to start making business decisions as an organization and figure out what players are going to be part of it, what players aren't. And the majority of them aren't. That's not that hard to figure out. Let's hit TJ in Manhattan next. TJ, what's up, brother?
Hey, Carlin, I want to say, first of all, you're spot on how you're seeing this. I'm a Shea Stadium baby. We are not new at seeing this ourselves as Jet fans. Number one, the organization, I can't say enough bad things about this organization. And for how many times have we watched them try and get a quarterback in, a young quarterback in, and surround him with nothing and take away pieces? We are watching them with backup pieces. The only organization that can get first downs with these pieces is Belichick's staff. They would get.
So who are you blaming more right now, TJ?
Well, I'm telling you that to start, shame on them. Baker Mayfield has enough pieces around him, whatever he's doing over there.
But he hasn't proven to be the guy yet.
But they gave him a chance to be. Darnold, as we're talking about right now, for me, he's not emanating leadership presence. Maybe it's because of the team. Maybe because they're playing poorly and guys are coming and going and the stars are leaving. But him, if his body of work is being judged separately from an organization that can't surround a franchise quarterback with anything but a bunch of backups, I don't see something emanating from him that at least shows me he's making the games closer, that if he had more talent, he can elevate more. You know, you see that in New York. You get a guy who, well, man, the pieces around him, but Porzingis before the injury, he's still giving you good nights. And you're saying, man, if he was on a team or they had players, but Darnold is not doing that yet. I don't know why. I don't know if he's not the guy. But as you said, all eyes are on this now, and they should not be. Shame on the Jets for putting him in this spot, but he's in it. And he better step up something and give the team something so they don't have listless games that just by the second quarter you don't even know if you should be watching them. They can't. I agree,
and I appreciate the call. And I do think that you have to, at some point, put some of it on him if he is going to be this franchise quarterback. I understand it. But believe it or not, there are franchise quarterbacks that do elevate the play of guys around them. That do make some guys better than they actually are. Now, are they few and far between? Well, clearly, from what we told you, yes. And remind you, I was only talking about the first and second round guys. There are other guys that are found later. We know that Brady's found later. But I'm talking about the last 10 years. You know, Russell Wilson was a third round guy. But he's certainly an aberration. First and second round, 34 quarterbacks that were taken, and six of them have turned into stars with a couple of maybes in there. That's an alarming percentage. 18%! Are you kidding me? Oh, God. Scotty G in Long Island. Scotty G, what's going on?
Chris, love the show. Thank you very much for you coming back on the air. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
I'm a Shea Stadium kid, too. I was always at Shea Stadium. I am such a frustrated Jet fan. It comes from the ownership. It's kind of like the Wilpons, the Johnsons. It's in the same category. I like Sam Darnold.
It's not like the Johnsons haven't spent money. They've spent money.
Right. No. You know what? You're right there. But it's just that if the head stinks, it's all the way down. You know, Adam Gase, look at Tannehill now. Look what he's doing. What did he do with Darnold? He hasn't done a thing. He's tying his hands behind his back. I mean, even that fourth and one on an audible, he can't call his own audible.
Adam Gase is setting his kid backwards. That's insane. That's insane to me that that's the case. And thanks for the call. And it's just mind-boggling. And I heard today, again, Steve Young, on with the guys, talking about that very instance. The idea that if you're on a fourth and one, should you be able to audible out of a play if it's available to you? And Sam says after the game that he wasn't allowed to, but it was actually Gase who said it first. Listen to what Steve had to say about that.
That can't be. A quarterback's always got to have a gut-level instinct. And you have to empower a quarterback, even a young one, that they can take some chances on a gut instinct, because that's how you build that connective tissue, that scar tissue, that even if it doesn't work, there's learning, there's empowerment. And the best I ever played was when coaches empowered me. Not overly. Don't want to weigh them down with too much information. Don't want to weigh somebody down with too many decisions. But when you're talking about gut instincts at the line of scrimmage with something you want to do, you got to empower those because they become a better player. They become a bigger player. They become more of themselves. And so I don't want to hear that, because I know they're trying to protect young players, but I think that I agree. Don't overburden them with too much information, but when it comes to gut stuff, let them go.
And it wouldn't have taken very much to see that between the center and the left guard, there was a lot to work with. And I understand how quickly those holes close up. I get it. But Sam, at his size, would have been able to pick up the first down that way. And there are plenty of quarterbacks that go up to the line of scrimmage, pretty much all of them, and can tap the center on the inside of which leg, on the inside of his leg, on which side he's going to go, and just go pick up the first down when he sees it that way. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. And it's, I mean, we're in year three, and he can't audible out of that play? And you tell everybody about it? Wow. Wow. John in Westchester is next on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, John.
Good evening, Chris. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. So, two things. At 34 picks and only six being hit, it's hard to say that those
and
six
saying,
teams
six,
were
six
more
that
astute
are stars
than the other ones. I think a lot of it is luck. But the one thing that I will make a comment on, I'm a big Southern Cal fan, and I watched Darnold in college, and to a large degree, he looks the same now as he did in college. He was incredibly erratic, make a spectacular play, throw into coverage where he never should have for an interception. He looks the same guy. And at some point in time, don't you have to say, okay, this is who he is?
Yeah, but when is that time? Because all I keep hearing about is what he doesn't have around him. You got to turn down your radio. We're going to let you go. Just went back to hear what you had to say, and I get it. It's thrilling to be on the radio. I get it. Look, you want to sit there and talk about what Sam was in college, and he looks the same. Yeah, at some point you have to step up. Yeah. There are a lot of people that haven't wanted to admit that, but after games one and two, aren't you starting to sense that the fan base is starting to turn a little bit? That maybe, just maybe, that doubt that was not there in the offseason is all of a sudden starting to grow? I think we're going to put up a poll in a second, because those always are incredibly scientific and tell the entire truth of a situation. Are you more discouraged by Sam through the first two games than you were in the offseason? Something along those lines. I don't know. I'll word it right. What am I, Gallup? Come on. 800-919-3776. 729. It's Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. Really is alarming, that dynamic that exists right now, publicly at least, between the coach and his quarterback.
And Mrs. Jones.
Well done, Nikki Hartman. Except this is Mr. Jones. It's Carlin, 98.7 and ESPN. We'll take that, though. 800-919-3776. You got to go Mr. Jones counting crows there, Nikki.
Next time.
Yeah. But it would, listen, you and me were thinking the same way. You know, I'm going through all the stats today, and I'm not a big analytics guy, right? But I have a subscription to Pro Football Focus. So I went through and wanted to take a look at where some of the grades were for some players in this city. And trust me, there are quite a few of them you don't want to know, including what we have seen so far from Andrew Thomas, which I didn't realize was that bad, but I'll give him a break considering it was the Bears and Khalil Mack this past week. Daniel Jones, through his first 2 weeks among quarterbacks in the NFL, ranked 10th. I'm shocked it's that good. Shocked. He's played okay. But I don't know all of the analytics that they take into account. But think about the fact that he ranks 10th. Meanwhile, the Giants, through 2 weeks, have allowed 56 quarterback pressures on him. 56? That's second in the league. I mean, that's a bad offensive line, and Jones is, you know, analytically speaking, not playing that horribly. So far, if you want to go by those, and I, look, you want to raise an eyebrow at that, that's fine. I get it. Matt Ryan, Josh Allen, Deshaun Watson, Kyler Murray, Ben Roethlisberger, he ranks ahead of all of them so far. I mean, that's pretty damn impressive. So, you know, while the numbers don't necessarily jump out and the turnovers are still a big problem, I guess I'm supposed to be encouraged by that. I'm encouraged by the fact that the guy is as mobile as he is, and I'm certainly encouraged by what I saw for a good portion of the second half of last year But I could not get over that. There's part of me that wonders, is that the stat that proves stats don't mean a damn thing when it comes to that analytics type stuff? Honestly, I could not get over that. Absolutely blown away by that. How is that possible? How is it 56 pressures and the guy ranks 10th in the league? How? Wow. 800-919-3776. We roll back to the phones and we welcome in Joe in Woodbridge. Joe, what's going on? You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, how you doing, sir? Good evening. I am actually one of those Jeff fans that I'm not. I saw this coming, and I'm not mad at all. First of all, it's
you
interesting
sound entirely
because
too calm.
Yeah, I know. And it's funny because I was this morning I was listening to Boomer, and they were talking about how some of them had experiences with people that live in the West Coast. And how they're really calm and submissive. They're not really all that eager and like kind of different people from the East Coast. And, you know, with Sam, honestly, he is young. I still say he's 21. People say he's 23. Yeah, but you know what? Honestly, the reason why he's struggling is because last year, you know, he went to Gaze. He said, you got to make this easier. Maybe this year he was like, you know what, Gaze, don't make it easy for me. I want to learn the whole thing. I don't care if I'm struggling. It's hard to say that, but he's still young. He's still a young guy. And if Trevor Lawrence comes in, you know, it all depends on who they hire as their next head coach. Last time I saw this happen was with the Carolina Panthers. They did have this rookie quarterback from Notre Dame, and Cam Newton was sitting there. And I didn't think they should have taken Cam Newton because I thought the rookie from Notre Dame was okay. He wasn't. I think he was in the second year by then, but they still took Cam Newton. I say, yeah, keep Sam Darnold and keep growing with him. And he's just going to take his sweet time. I didn't like what Avery Williamson said today about not practicing, you know, and with, you know, to win. But obviously, you know what, dude, you're a middle linebacker. Go make the sack. Go make plays. You know,
plays, 18 plays, something like that.
Yeah, I didn't like that from him. I was kind of messed up, but whatever. I'm not mad. I saw this coming. Yeah, there's no receivers to throw to him. There was no OTAs. There was no preseason. Everything, you know, last year, you know, maybe when he was injured or sick, he didn't do much. He couldn't do much, you know, for him to come into the office. And, you know, he was not allowed to do that. So I'm not mad. You know, just got to go with the pain. And, you know, I did remember, actually, they brought this earlier, too, about John Gruden, how when he took over the Raiders, they say he's not going to do anything. He's letting go of all these players, blah, blah, blah. And now he's actually getting to where he needs to get to. I just hope that if the Jets do bring a coach, I hope it's one of those guys that use ground and pound and use a fullback. I still believe in the fullback. I don't know, that's just my mentality.
That's not a thing anymore. Thanks for the call, Joe. That's not the fullback's not really a thing anymore. It's they don't use them a whole lot. The league is a lot different now, and it's throw the ball around. Now, when you need to go run the football later in the year, you know, maybe you're talking about that, but there aren't a whole lot of teams that use them now. I mean, 49ers with Juszczyk, a few others here and there, the Raiders, Alec Ingold, but there aren't a whole lot of them. I look at it from this perspective. If Trevor Lawrence is available and the Jets, or if Trevor Lawrence is coming out, which, you know, we all believe he is, and the Jets are the number one overall pick, there's no discussion to be had. There's just not. You know, you can not be mad at Avery, or you can be mad at Avery Williamson or all that other kind of stuff. With Sam, as I demonstrated earlier, this is no longer about giving guys 4 and 5 and 6 years to develop. That's not the deal anymore. This is 3 years, and we'll see. Can you honestly say that you're not going to have more questions at the end of this year about Sam? I mean, if the Jets are 2-14, 1-15, and they have the number one overall pick, presumptively, Sam either was out for the year with an injury or played horribly, absolutely horribly. In which case, We are watching a lot of Clemson this season. That could be the case anyway. See, there we go. Nikki's on it. She's got it done. 800-919-3776. It's Carlin, 98.7 ESPN. For the next hour until the Western Conference Finals, coming up at 9 o'clock. You know, the Giants now, without their superstar running back, I'm sure find themselves looking in the mirror trying to figure out exactly how they're going to run the football consistently. Looks like they're bringing in Devontae Freeman. Deion Lewis is going to get the football a whole lot more. That's great. I think we can agree that a guy that was on the street and somebody that was a backup at this point and Wayne Gallman are not going to be the answers to running the football effectively, especially when you have the offensive line as it is currently constituted. With those numbers that we told you earlier about pass protection, it's not like the run blocking gets a whole lot better. But there is an answer here. There is a solution to the problem. And that solution is pretty simple. Daniel Jones ran a 4.82 40-yard dash at the combine a couple of years ago. You realize that in his career at Duke, he rushed for 1,300 yards and 16 touchdowns. He was somebody that was a part of the Duke offense, not just throwing the football, but running the football. Many, many designed runs for Daniel Jones and his athletic ability. I put this question to you. Why can't Daniel Jones be Josh Allen running the football? I mean, Allen's incredibly athletic, but Jones is too. I'm not asking him to be Cam Newton at his absolute best, but a run-pass option where you have to defend both sides of it, and you haven't really shown a whole lot of that so far. To me, it sounds like a pretty good solution from a Giant perspective. Running Jones a lot more than you have. And don't get me wrong. I don't want to get the quarterback killed here. He'll have to be smart about it. He'll have to be Russell Wilson in terms of getting down on the ground and sliding. But he doesn't have to be Russell Wilson in terms of his productivity. It's just that this is a big weapon that he has that, to me, they don't take advantage of. And you get why they have Saquon Barkley. But now you don't have Saquon Barkley. So you have to look for other answers in running the football. So why not start to incorporate some more of that into your offense? I wouldn't be shocked to see that happen. I mean, this is, you know, somebody that in his past has been more than capable of doing this. You know, when you have this athletic ability that he does, and last season, you know, he ran it 45 times for 279 yards. And those weren't obviously all designed runs. A lot of them were, you know, broken plays. You're averaging 6 yards a carry. When you're going to do this, you have a chance to really give your offense a little bit more of a lift. And I think if you're Jason Garrett right now, this has to be something that you're looking at hard and incorporating. If you get some run pass option mixed in and you have Jones carry the football, I'm not saying he's going to be as dynamic as he was in college because it's a different level, but I think you're going to be able to add some success to the run game. As long as Jones understands where and when to get down on the ground and isn't taking big hits. If he does that, I mean, they're going to have an opportunity to be more productive in that run game. They really are. And it doesn't even necessarily figure out. It doesn't even necessarily have to do with the idea of that offensive line being great. If there is mystery as to who has the football, that creates enough confusion, and that creates enough opportunities. So I think they'd be absolutely out of their minds if they weren't looking at this. Because when you look at his athletic ability in his college career, it was a big part of their offense. I mean, he rushed for, if you, in college, you go back and you look at the stats, right? The rushing stats for quarterbacks get skewed, especially mobile ones, because sacks count against the run game, especially for the, and they do for the team as well. So when that's the case, you obviously lose a lot of the yardage that you rushed for. So when you go back and look at Jones's numbers, they may not jump off the page to you, but remember, he's probably in each of those 3 years that he was a starter, lost 200 yards because of getting sacked 25, 30 times a year. That's just going to happen. And statistically, it's a difference between the college game and the pro game. But he's got the ability, man. And I went back just to take a look again today, not just at the highlights, but at you know, just spending a little time watching some of Duke's offense. It was part of it. It wasn't a, I wouldn't call it a centerpiece, but it was a part of their offense, and he was capable of breaking off some big runs. I don't necessarily expect him to be, you know, breaking off a 70-yard touchdown run. He's not Kyler Murray. You know, he's not making those kind of plays. But he's making some plays. He's able to get the Giants some running game on the ground, a running game right now that they just, they don't have. So maybe you have to throw in some new looks into that offense this week. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Let's hit Eddie in Rockland next on 98.7 ESPN. Eddie, what's up, dude?
Hey, Big Chris, what's happening, brother?
How you doing?
Listen, I agree with you that they need scrambling quarterbacks, but these two, Darnold and Jones, they don't have that little extra, okay? They're going to scramble and get killed. That's the problem. This ain't college. This is the NFL now. You know, you can see
so
that...
the difference between the two of them, Eddie, is that Darnold's a guy that slides around the pocket and can make plays on the run, but he's more of an Aaron Rodgers type in that regard. I'm not comparing the two, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying in style, as he moves around the pocket and can throw on the run in theory. Jones is a guy that can actually run.
Right. I see Jones, but he's not that good. He's less than Burrow. He's less than Josh Allen. He's less than those guys, and that's going to equal him getting killed. Okay, in the NFL. I hate
again,
to say it.
If you slide and you get on the ground. I mean, Russell Wilson has not gotten hurt once in his career, and that guy runs a ton. Why? Because he's smart enough to get on the ground.
And he's a true athlete. And he's a true athlete. Listen, I'm going to tell you, they made two mistakes, the Jets and the Giants. I hate to say it. They got pocket quarterbacks in the era where they need athletic quarterbacks.
Like, Eddie, you're not even listening to a word I'm saying or any of the stuff I just went over for 8 minutes. Daniel Jones, in his college career, was considered a very mobile quarterback, and the Giants do it. Look, he's primarily a pocket guy, yes, but this is somebody that can run the football. He is athletic. He ran a 4.8 240. That's pretty athletic for a quarterback.
Chris, I'll guarantee you, all right, let's the gentleman's bet. At the end, if they run him more than, like, they start doing what you say, giving him some options, he will be injured before the end of the year. He doesn't have that.
That would worry me, too. That's a whole other thing, Eddie, and thanks for the call. I'm not going to bet that, okay? Because if you're not smart enough to get on the ground, then, yeah, there's a good chance that you're going to get hurt. Mobile quarterbacks who take hits get hurt. That's what happens. I mean, Cam Newton has taken a ton of hits in his career, and he's gotten hurt. And there was real concern at a pretty young age as to whether or not he was going to be done. Turns out he's not, but you get the point. This is not the case. I'm not talking about 20 carries a game. I'm not talking about 10 carries a game. I'm talking about 6, 7. Mixing it up a little bit just to make other teams respect it. And it also gives you other opportunities to do things. It helps out the running backs when they do get the football put in their belly. It helps out the pass game as well. If you drop to throw out of it, there's a reason they call it a run pass option. The quarterback has the option to hand it off, to run it himself, or to pass it. R-P-O.
Yeah, I'm out that Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow, but I'll be hood forever.
Oh, yes, 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 friends. We have kind of breaking news.
Kind of breaking news?
Yes, the Giants have officially signed Devontae Freeman. Devontae Freeman, one-year deal, $3 million, according to Drew Rosenhaus, as he said to Adam Schefter just a little while ago, that he had other options, but decided the Giants were his best opportunity. Well, obviously the Giants are your best opportunity when you look and you see Wayne Gallman and Deion Lewis as your primary competition for carries. Yeah, you're probably feeling pretty good about the chances of you getting the lion's share of running the football. I would think that would be your best chance. Yes. I still think if you incorporate some RPOs and you let Jones carry it 6 or 7 times and he is smart enough to get on the ground, it's not the worst thing in the world to do. So the Giants officially have signed Devontae Freeman. 1 year, $3 million. Let's get in Bruce in Flushing next. Hey, Bruce, what's going on, man?
Hey, Chris, let's talk about this signing. Correct me if I'm wrong. He's been injured the last couple years. He was injured last year for at least part of the time. Mm-hmm. Was he in anybody's training camp this year?
He's 28 years old. He was not in anybody's training camp.
He wasn't. That's what I thought. And he was coming off an injury for the last couple of years. Am I correct in that?
Last year, he only missed a couple of games. It was 2 years ago that he missed the majority of the season.
Okay.
Last year, rushed for 656 yards with the Falcons, averaged less than 4 yards a carry, and, let's see, 60 catches out of the backfield. So, I mean, not terrible production, but this is what you're going to get at this point of the year.
I understand that, but this signing doesn't really excite me. I think Gallman may surprise some people, but I think the crux of the matter is because Saquon is out, the Giants are going to have to change their offense a little bit. You're going to have to throw in the runs every so often, but I think you need to go to a more passing attack, split out Evan Ingram, go 3-4 wide receivers, mix in a run every so often, but that's the way you're going to have to incorporate this offense. But if you think that Dante Freeman is going to give you 20-25 carries a game, that's not going to happen.
No, I agree with that. Devontae Freeman's not going to do that. And that wasn't even – I don't think he was a 20 – he certainly wasn't a 25 guy. And remember, when the Falcons had him at his best, he and Tevin Coleman, they weren't splitting carries, but it was like 70-30. You know, so he'd get – 18 carries a game, something like that. I don't even think that's him right now. I think it's more 10 to 15 for Devontae Freeman to try to help you, but at least you know he has the pass-catching ability out of the backfield. But so, listen, I'm not averse to what you said, and the other problem is here, Bruce, Evan Ingram should never be on the end of the line of scrimmage again. The guy can't block. He just can't block.
I totally agree. That's why I said to you last week, either split him out wide and make him a wide receiver, or trade him.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Bruce. You can't. He's just not that guy. He's not that guy. Monty in Jersey next, 98.7 ESPN. Monty, go.
Hey, you know, listen to some Jets fans, which you know, it's really sobering to actually see people still want to give Sam, you know, all this, even people thinking that he's going to be a great quarterback. You know, I'm taking bets with my friends that Sam Darnold in his career, whether he get rid of him next year or not, won't see 2 playoff games. Okay, I'm taking I'm giving 2-1. Okay, if that's the correct way to say it, that he will not win 2 playoff games in his career. So, you know, here's a sobering statistic. You know, to me, Sam Darnold sucks, and you know we need to get another quarterback. So.
I'm not going that far yet, Monty, and thanks for the call. I'm not giving up completely, but I am saying, like, this is it. And year three, I don't want to talk about so much what he doesn't have. I want to hear more about what he's doing to make what he has better. And that's not an unreasonable thing when you're talking about a franchise quarterback. But as we told you earlier, when you look at the draft between 2011 and 2019, there are 6 definitive stars at quarterback that have been taking the first 2 rounds out of 34. 34 quarterbacks taken in the first 2 rounds from 2011 to 2019. 6 are definitive stars and a couple of maybes in there. A maybe to probably. But the one thing they all have in common, you knew the answer by year 3. And at the very latest, by the end of year 3. You cannot go into this offseason still asking the question. Sean is up next. He is in Jersey. Sean, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Chris? Love the show.
Thanks,
man. I'm not where Monty is, and I'm a longtime season suffering ticket holder, you know, for the Jets. But what I don't hear people talking about is, and going into the third season, do we even know, and I agree that, you know, there's a big question mark about Sam, but do we even know that Sam would want to be a Jet moving forward? I mean, you have to consider that, you know, if he makes it through year 4 and then maybe pick up his 5th-year option, you know, maybe he doesn't re-sign.
Yeah, but you got to remember, I mean, it gets so dicey after that, Sean, and thanks for the call, in that you can't, if you're the quarterback, if you have the guy, even if he doesn't want to be here, you have to go a long way to get into that position. Like, you have to go a long way, if you're Sam Darnold, to get to where Dak Prescott is. And the fact that the Cowboys screwed that up so much, I don't think that's likely. And I also, I mean, worrying about whether Sam wants to be here or not, Sam has to prove he can play. Greg, Long Island, next. Greg, quickly, we got 20 seconds.
All right, I'll quickly rant. It is time for the Giants to trade Saquon Barkley. Since day one, I have thought that this was a mistake, not because of him. Obviously a generational talent. This is not the team for him. Look at the 49ers last year. Third string running back before the playoffs becomes Super Bowl hero.
Make it quick, and I appreciate the call, but yeah, you're not trading Saquon while he's got a torn ACL. I really should have made that quicker. I should have cut it off after 10 seconds. No offense. But, yeah, offense. Not a great point. You want to talk about not signing him for the long term, that's different. And he's a long way away from that. All right, great job, Nikki Hartman, Ty Butler. Carlin, see you tomorrow at 7.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.